disclosure of pecuniary interest? Okay, seeing none, brings us to minutes of the previous meeting. Councilor Levine?
Move the motion.
Second? Councilor Malosh, any corrections to the minutes? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? All those in favor? Carry? That brings us all the way down to item 7.1, the workplace wellness program. Councilor Price?
I'll move the recommendation.
Second? Councilor Malosh, any questions? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carry? 7.2. Councilor Malosh?
Move the recommendation, I'd like to speak on it.
Second? Councilor Puge, thanks, Councilor Malosh.
Thank you, this questions to the treasurer. Does this system, payroll system, is it fully integrated into our accounting package?
Through you to the councilor, yes, that's one of the benefits. This did not exist a few years ago, but it exists now. It's integrated with our VADA My City software, so it'll allow us to have much more interoperability than the original plan with regards to payroll and sourcing.
One follow up to that. Back in 2015 budget, I thought we had set a reserve aside for financial packages. And I'm curious as to why we're taking this money out of working capital reserve as opposed to taking it out of that money that we had set aside.
Through to the councilor, it is the same funding. We had put aside $315,000 for financial system management, and at the year end transfer, we transferred all open projects into the working capital reserve.
Oh, okay.
So we were requesting the transfer.
Okay. Okay. So it did go into that.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. Brings us to 8.1, the Libro Center Pro Shop. Councilor Price?
I'll move the recommendation. I'd like to speak on it.
Second? Councilor Malosh? Councilor Price?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I just wanted to welcome us athletics to Amherstburg and congratulations. Looking forward to the product and the ability to bring in more programming for the town. I know you guys are fantastic at doing that, and I'm sure the operation, the people that utilize that for skate sharpening and things like that will be happy again that we have that back at the Libro Center.
Any other questions, comments? I think we're good. All those in favor? Carry.
Welcome to town.
9.1, placement of underground infrastructure in Kings Ridge. Councilor Malosh.
Move the recommendation.
Second? Councilor Puget. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carry. Supplementary agenda, 9.2, Creek Road reconstruction. Councilor Fryer.
I'll move the recommendation before us.
Second, Councilor Puget, any questions? Councilor Fryer?
Just curious, through you, I know the question comes up quite a bit through you to Todd or Antonetta. We're quick to the hop to get out for our budgets, September, October, but we're now in July, and now we're approving a contract that, you know, we approved the Mulock or to the Creek Road to be done a long time ago. So why is it taking 6, 7, 8 months once council approves a budget to actually get a tender approved? It's, you know, the whole idea council moving forward was to, well, let's get out there early, get the tender, and I think we're missing that boat. So either we're not doing, maybe councils after us need to do the engineering first so that way it's shelf ready and then move forward. So I think things have to change because we're missing the boat on some of the, I think the early bidding.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we are moving to that philosophy. We've already RFP'd the engineering for the 5th concession Texas Road, some of the projects that we're identifying for next year's 2019 capital budget. So the engineering RFPs have already been issued. So we are moving forward with that mindset to try and get the engineering the year before so that we can get out a little sooner for the construction.
Councilor Puget?
hoping that once he gets his contracts executed, within a few weeks of getting located, he'll be out there starting probably some smaller works, the majority of the work starting in September. And the work has to be completed by November 30th.
So, yes, Frank?
So in September, Todd, so what does that do for buses? And do the people that have to utilize that for buses?
It's going to make it very difficult. We haven't worked with the contractor yet to determine what's going to happen with respect to road closures. But obviously, as you were familiar with Texas Road, there is certainly some difficulty with bus stops and having a road closed. When we deal with the contractor, we'll have to see how long it has to be fully closed, if that's for the entire duration of the contract, or if it's only for a small part when they're doing some of the pulverizing and some of the other work that needs the entire road width. So once we get, once we meet with the contractor, we'll deal with them, and then from there we'll have to deal with the bus companies for that.
Secondarily, too, is what are we doing for, it's problematic throughout Ontario, because my father-in-law right now started in late May riding across Canada. As soon as he hit Ontario on a bike, is the worst roads for bike and bike accessibility to cross Canada. So as soon as he got in Ontario, everybody forgets about, oh, by the way, across Canada, you can go across the Trans-Canada Highway, there's bike lanes, there's all other provinces, but Ontario. And that's where we're in, Ontario. So on that road, in the road width, are we actually allowing for bike lanes, walking lanes? I don't see anything before, so it's just a supplementary thing. This is here, this is what we're going to do, but what are we actually going to do to help, you know, stop that trend? Every time there's a road done, I've said it I don't know how many times on here, if you put extra material on each side of the road, you don't have the spidering of the road to push out because there's actually a road there of transport trucks or cars. The roads last, M50, they did a study on it, the roads last 3 times longer than they do if you put material on the sides. We keep just putting nice shoulders with gravel that eventually deteriorate. So the third concession is a prime example. We did that a few years ago, and the lift between the shoulder and the road is probably 2 or 3 inches down, because we haven't put anything there. It's just washed away. So how long is that road gonna last? Probably not very long. So what are we doing moving forward to make sure that CWATs, you know, that's a prime example for the swamp route for the cyclists that come from Windsor, they all use that road coming back to Windsor, going in and out. So what are we doing to allow for people to walk, people to ride bikes? What are we doing?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, this project was actually tendered twice. The first time we tendered it with a 1 meter wide paved shoulder, an attempt to try and provide close to what you're asking. A 1 meter paved shoulder is really not even what would be required for biking, but it was with the current situation there with all the ditches, to try and do a 1.5 meter bike lane on both sides wouldn't have been feasible. When the tenders came in, they were $550,000 over budget for that works. So we went back to the drawing board and removed the paved shoulders. The road will have 1 meter shoulders, so there is some ability in the future if we needed to pave them, if the sub base would be there. Also to note that the road is now has 3.5 meter lanes, where before it had about a 3.2 meter lanes. So there is, even though we're not providing a bike facility per se on the outside of the lane, we are providing a wider road base, which will give the bike rider some comfort in that area.
Perfect example, $500,000 for 2 months. But the time to redo that road, because Creek Road's been done, I think, twice now compared to the second concession being touched at all. So nothing was done back then to the sides, and that's what happened. The road spidered away. So regardless, if we're going to put, again, granular material on both sides, that $500,000 is probably way better to spend than to say, oh, it's too much money for now. We can't do that because we're going to redo the road another 8 years again. We're just throwing money away. That continuously happens in Windsor, Essex County, and Ontario. They don't want to do the shoulders, pave them, and that's the price. We're going to have to keep paying more and more. So $1.6 million, $1.8 million it's going to cost right now. When we do the road again, it's going to be almost $3 million. When we could have spent $500,000 now to save it for the cycle, moving forward. I don't know when we're gonna get to that mindset, but it's a very unfortunate that we keep throwing that money away rather than saying, yeah, you know what, this is the proper thing, this is what we should be doing.
Do you have the numbers from the original quote?
We just had 500,000 more.
No, I mean, I remember, I could tell you that it was $2.287 million. I know the number. The difficulty you're gonna have is that was a different contractor that was the low for the first time, and we rejected all those bids on the fact that they were in excess of our budget.
Okay, so if council wants to re-tender again or spend more money, we can put the big shoulders back in.
I was against that.
Okay.
Well, after your audit was, so, next year, so defer it till next year.
Any other questions or comments? All those in favor? Carry. Brings us 10.1, condominium conversion. Anybody?
Can we have a discussion before the motion?
Nope.
No.
Well, you can.
Well, part of.
Are you looking to change your motion?
I'm not sure which one I want to pick until we sort of outline. I guess I want to clarify some things. I can pick one of them and then, guess, vote against it if I
don't
like it, I guess.
How about we save some time and ask the questions?
I'm sorry?
Go ahead and ask the questions.
Well, my biggest concern is.
Microphone.
Sorry. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My biggest concern is the impact that this proposal will have on the rental market. You know, housing, affordable housing is at a premium at this point in time, and there's always been pressure by, you know, various levels of government to increase you know, affordable housing. I see this as a deterioration to affordable housing in the fact that now somebody who doesn't have the downstroke to buy a condo unit will have to, if they want to stay there, will have to come up with some, you know, down payment money where, I mean, the mortgage may be the same as the rent, but they don't have the down payment money, and so I guess, has administration done any work to or investigation to see what the impact would be on the rental market?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The planning consultants that wrote the initial planning justification report to justify these requested condo conversions is here again this evening to respond to specific questions. As mentioned in the planning justification report and during the public meeting, there is no impact to the rental housing market for various reasons. One of the reasons is that under the Residential Tenancies Act, the rentals are protected, so there will be no impact in that way. Also, as they mentioned during the public meeting, the RealSTAR has done 11 conversions in different municipalities, and there's been no change to the rental situation of the units. They all continue to be rented. So it's really not the intent to impact the opportunity for the rental market, but it's really just for their own tax and procedural purposes that they're internally requesting this. We won't see it impacting the rental market. Also, the manager of planning from the county and I met with the planning consultant a couple of times to confirm all of these concerns and issues as well.
So it is the plan, we'll say, of the owners of the building to continue to rent these units, although they will be now classified as condo units, and I read through why. But so it is the intention to leave them as rental units for the market.
Yes, that is correct. That was identified in their planning justification.
I thought that was my point.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, it is recommended that the recommendation be received, be considered, and that council support the draft plan of condominium conversion of 130 Pickering Drive.
Second. Deputy Mayor, any questions or comments? Councilor Puja.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to the planner, I believe it is. Rebecca, I was very concerned that the residents did not receive a letter stating that it was this rental would only be good for did the people in charge of the project, did they send letters out to all the tenants in both buildings? Because it's very suspicious that only a few came out, and I think more might have come out if they were aware that this is only good for 10 years and then they will either have to buy or find another place.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I did see the letters that were sent out to the residents. If any of the residents felt that they were concerned, I saw the letter that went to all of the residents. I asked for that confirmation. Regarding the 10 years, the 10 years was something that planning at the town of Amherstburg and the county were requesting as an extra safeguard. But as was explained to us under the Residential Tenancies Act, it's a life lease opportunity. People can continue to rent as long as they want. It's not capped at 10 years. We were just trying to confirm for our own internal concern because I hadn't seen one of these applications yet as an extra safeguard, but it's not, in fact, going to be capped at 10 years. And again, Mr. Mayor, if there's any other specific questions, the planning consultant from MHBC is on hand for us this evening, too.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rebecca, but I asked some tenants and they said they didn't receive a letter stating that it about the 10-year fact that it could be up in 10 years. That they have not received any letter of that. We please have that verified, whether or not it went out.
I asked for that information and I've received it from MHBC, but again, they may wish to provide additional information if council would prefer. But I obtained that information from them that a letter went out. I saw copies of the letter.
Could they please provide that information to council?
So there was a letter that went out, and it was actually specific to above guideline increases. It wasn't specific to the 10-year. I can get in touch with RealStar and ask if a separate letter has been done about the 10-year. As planning staff have indicated, the 10-year was something planning staff requested that our client has agreed to put in just to give a comfort level that it's not the intent to do this conversion and then sell off the units. Over the last 15 years with any of the conversions that have occurred, not a single unit has been sold. And as mentioned, if a tenant is still there after that 10-year, they can't be forced to buy it, they can't be removed. It would only be if after the 10 years someone moves out and that unit's available, at that point they could sell it, but that's not the intent. Their intent is to keep it as rental long-term. It's just a technical conversion for the finance purposes. The letter that did go out was to explain that there has been above guideline increase in rent, and was just explained that that had nothing to do with this condo conversion. It was to cover renovations that occurred back in 2017, and because of the timing of that above guideline increase and these condo conversions, they didn't want there to be confusion that the condo conversions were what had brought that on. In the last 11 conversions that RealStar has done, rents have never gone up as a result. Most likely they go down, and that's because any tax savings that the owner gets as a result of the conversion have to be reduced in the rent for the tenant. That's 100% of those tax savings are to the benefit of the residents who are renting those units.
Further to that, I received a complaint from somebody and their roof is
still be properly managed the same way it is today, so there would still be a property manager that oversees anything like that. Again, the conversion is not intended to change anything about how these units are currently rented.
Because in our report it says in some cases existing residential development were constructed with present policy standards and criteria. So that's my concern. If you, you switch over to a condo and what happens if you need two new elevators or the roof replaced, and you know, are they going to get the same type of maintenance that they had before, or will it be worse?
It won't be worse. It will be the same or better than before. And those type of improvements, again, are not a result of a condo conversion. They're more things like the, for example, the 2017 improvements were done as a result of changes through provincial requirements. So they needed different fire horns installed because the previous buildings weren't up to what the kind of provincial changes, standards change. So that would have happened regardless of rental or conversion. The province or building code changes certain standards that are required to be implemented, then they have to be done regardless of the ownership. But again, there will still be professional management of all of these events.
Rebecca?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So an important point that was just stated and in response to that question is one of the draft conditions based on our official plan is a building code condition audit. That will be one of the draft conditions. It is a requirement when there is a requested condo conversion that there's an analysis to bring any building up to current building code standards.
And further to that, Mr. Mayor, I do have a very serious problem. If we agreed to change these over, the town of Amherstburg for the two units will be losing between $178,000 to $256,000 over a 10-year period. That's a significant amount of money for the town to lose.
Okay, Councilor Pryor?
Okay.
Councilor Milosh?
Any questions to the get your name there.
Sorry, it's Andrea Sinclair.
Okay. I guess part of the question somewhat is what Councilor Puget was alluding to, and your cost recovery model, is it different from a rental unit to a condo unit? That's the question I'm gonna ask you, because that's how it's really gonna impact the residents.
It's probably, as a planner, I'm probably not the best person to answer that. All I can say is that for the current residents living there, there won't be increased costs. Likely there will be decreased costs, and that's been the case in all of the conversions that have occurred so far. And again, bringing a building into up to building code standard is, I think, a positive.
So when the units get switched over, when and if the units get switched over from rental to condo, will your company have a reserve set aside for what we'll call certain obligations or identified repairs that are required?
Yes.
So that money will go into for the benefit of the residents.
Okay, any other questions or comments? All right, the motion to support the draft plan conversion, all those in favor? Gary? And that brings us to 10.2. Councilor Pryor?
Move the motion in support.
And second, Councilor Milosh? Same thing. Is there any different questions? Councilor Puget?
As you said, thank you, Mr. Mayor, but I have to vote against this one too. I think that we're losing, the town of Amherstburg is losing too much money, a possibility of $266,000 within a 10-year period. Further to that, I don't like the fact that the residents were not informed of this 10-year possibility, and that they might have a difficult time finding a suitable housing at a suitable rate after the 10-year period. And I just feel very uncomfortable with changing this unit again over to a condo. Yeah.
Rebecca, you said that the 10-year, they have to go past the 10 years anyway, correct?
Yes, that's correct, Mr. Mayor. We had just asked for administration and county were unsure or concerned, looking to protect the rental market. But in fact, there's legislation beyond what we were doing, the Residential Tenancies Act, the individual leases that all of these individuals have. So the 10-year doesn't really mean anything. It's just, that was something to satisfy us, administration.
Okay, Council Pujar.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, if it doesn't mean anything, why is it included in this report? Because in 10 years, they could go back to it and say, this is what you agreed to.
Mr. Mayor, that was an additional safeguard at the beginning of the process that was recommended by administration. The planning consultant later identified that the Residential Tenancies Act and all of the leases mean more or are additional requirements about that.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? All those in favor? Carry. 10.3, zoning bylaw amendment for Gardner Crescent. Councilor Pryor?
I'll move the recommendation.
Second. Councilor Melage? Any questions or comments? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carry. Amending development agreement, 140 Simcoe Street.
Move the recommendation.
Second, Councilor Pujar. Is there any questions or comments? Councilor Pujar?
Every time I go by there, I keep looking just to make sure that nobody's using it as a shower.
Any other questions or comments?
You can try it.
We just try it now.
Okay, all those in favor? Carry. 10.5, the road dedication. Councilor Pryor?
Move the recommendation.
Second. Councilor Melage? Any questions or comments? All those in favor? Carry. The extension of legal services retainer, 10.6. Councilor Melage?
Move the recommendation.
Second. Councilor Pryor, any questions? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carry. 11.1, the committee member appointment. Councilor Melage?
Move the recommendation.
Second. Councilor Pryor, any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carry. 7.2, Councilor Pryor.
Move the recommendation.
Second, Councilor Melage. Back to Councilor Pryor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to our clerk. So, Paula, just so the public's aware of the situation that happened with these meetings, now that it's 2018, if those meetings were held in a closed session, would they be legal?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, yes. With the amendments to the Municipal Act, there were additional exemptions added that would provide us with the opportunity to go in camera for those things.
I just wanted to make sure the public's aware that certain things that we did go in camera for that were operational for the town's policing, that we did not want to divulge to people in the public for the purpose of how we operate our police department. So I'm comfortable in doing what we did, knowing that 2 weeks later, it would have been perfectly legal to do that.
So any other questions or comments? Councilor Pujar.
And thank you, Mr. Mayor. I know that they keep saying council, but in this case, it wasn't council that did it. It was JPAC, and the commissioner, the ombudsman, stated that they believed everybody was doing it in good faith. It wasn't like a real scathing report. It was meant only, you know, to clarify things, and so that, that, as he said now, if it happened now, everybody would be okay.
Mm-hmm. Just one thing I want to also point out, that the ombudsman did also say that it was done in good faith.
Right.
There's a number of things in there that you know, we looked at in terms of coming to that conclusion. And the other thing is that not only the council made the decision to go above and beyond, with that committee, which they didn't have to do. So I think that's also an important point that we shouldn't lose, is that, that was a decision council made to go, as transparent as possible. But the ombudsman did say that council didn't have to do it, and if council didn't do that, there would be no violation at all. So I just wanted to point that out as well.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. Information reports, Council Levine.
Pardon me, Mr. Mayor. There has been a letter received by administration this evening at 6:53 PM, which I have just forwarded to council for information via email. One of our contractors, Norbelt Construction, has provided a letter for council's consideration on item 12.4, the development of charges deferral agreements report. And I would turn it over to the acting CEO for comment.
Thank you, and through you, Mayor. This is a, the town has done this every year. It will expire organically, which is why it is an information report. Or they have done it in the last number of years. The report does speak for itself in terms of the reasoning behind not or allowing it to just sort of expire. I don't know if the Director of Corporate Services wanted to add anything to that.
Thank you, through you, Mr. Mayor. This report is for Council's information with respect to practice that the town had followed for a number of years. Certainly in reviewing the practice in the context of the town's fiscal circumstance and the local economy currently, it is not the recommendation of the administration that the practice be continued. The correspondence that has come in certainly is easy to appreciate that from a developer's perspective, they have been advantaged by having a deferral of the collection of these charges at no additional expense to them. So the town has effectively financed the cost of any growth-related infrastructure that has been put in place that's intended to be funded by development charges, and done so to the point until those fees were collected. The developers, under our development charge bylaw that council adopted in 2014, the policy is actually that the development charges will be collected at the time of the building permit issuance. Council, a number of years ago, opted to allow a deferral to the time of this sale of the properties that are developed. And at that time, I believe that was done in the context of a failing economy. Certainly the economy today is very different. Based on the amount of money that is being carried by the town, just under $800,000 on the books today, at no interest or fees collected with respect to that, the recommendation is that the town discontinue the practice at this time. So it's not a new policy, it's not changing the rules, it's just going back to the rules that council adopted under the development charge study.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I thank you for telling us that Mr. Norville sent something. I haven't seen it yet, however I know it must be there, but I had prepared a report regarding this because I'm very concerned about this. I think this could blindside our developers. You know, I would, if we have to do it that way, I would ask that we have an extension in order that we could inform the developers that that was our intent, maybe a 6-month extension, because I think it would be unfair to them if they have, they're very close to bringing something before council, expecting us to give them that opportunity to you know, to collect the funds once they sell. And every time this came before us, I recall asking, how is it working? And I was always told it's working good. We've never been given a hit as a result of it, that everybody has paid up on time. And please correct me if I'm wrong on that, but so I would just ask if council could ask for at least an extension so that we could let all our developers know and not blindside them with this.
We need a motion first, don't we?
It sounds like we're going to, it sounds like we're going to act on one of these, so perhaps we should just receive them all first and then address them individually.
Yeah.
Council Levine, a motion to receive.
I'll
Counselor Malarge.
And I got to speak to one of them.
Second, okay. But can we receive them first and then come back to it?
No.
Okay, all those in favor of receiving, carried, and, okay, Counselor Pujie had a request, and Counselor Levine.
Thank you, I also saw this before, and I've had some concerns with it. And the email we did receive, it was not just from Norbuild, it was from six builders in Amherstburg. It was from Norbuild, TC Homes, Ever Young Homes, Deeds and Losses, and all of them have concerns. So I would, it expires on what, the 23rd or 21st? Is there another meeting between now and then? No?
But it's in the year.
Is it August 13th?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Is there another meeting where we could request an administrative report to, like, because I'm not comfortable just extending it without having all the facts in front of it, right? It's been received, right?
If it's gonna expire, you don't have to make an issue to extend.
Yeah. Our next meeting is the 13th.
The August, yes.
If you have a meeting on the 13th.
Okay, I guess my question is, the administrative report's here, though, right? This is your recommendation. In there, in your recommendation, you included three options. Now, those three options seem legitimate to me, but my concern is, can we run them by the developers before we agree to either? Like, if we're gonna do it again for another year, or if we're gonna change it and go with what you're recommending with these three new options here, where we ask them for a letter of credit and ask them to pay the interest charges on what we're holding. Because just to say, okay, it's done, that's why I was kind of concerned that it was just an information report. It's kind of a big item. I would have expected to see more, maybe in the report section where, hey, this is gonna happen, should we let the developers in town know? Because I can tell you, they're obviously blindsided. We got an email today at 7 o'clock. We would have already dealt with this by the time they even stopped. So should I, do you want a motion to extend, or do you want a motion to?
Through you, Mayor, I think what we can do is we could put in a report on the agenda for the 13th, providing council with options.
Okay.
And that would be effectively before the expiry of the 21st.
I would be comfortable with that, and us just coming up with something on our own. And if I could include in that as direction that you contact the developers who contacted us through email today, so they can be in attendance and offer their opinions.
Moved by Councilor Levine, second by Councilor Fryer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think I wholly agree with council. You can't just blindside developers that already have projects that are coming or that have already started and say, okay, now we're gonna stop the, I think, a very successful program that's helped developers get through the hard times. Yeah, we're just on the cusp of a good, with the more capacity sewage and things like that, but I still would be cautious in just dropping a project or a program without letting them know.
Okay, any other questions or comments? Councilor Malarge?
Item 12.5.
Oh, whoops. We didn't vote on this yet. On the motion for direction, all those in favor? Carried. And now back to Councilor Malarge.
Thank you. On the item of the issue of 12.5, I guess two concerns. Mr. Russo knows that the first one that I always want to know is timeliness of a quarterly report. You know, we're getting first quarter reporting July 23rd. The second quarter is almost over. And that still concerns me. It did, you know, 3 years ago, and it still does to this day. And somehow we've been somewhat assured that with new accounting systems and this and that, we would get more prompt reporting. I know you've been under staff constraints over the last couple of years that has, you know, made that this difficult. I understand that, but I guess I just want to express my concern that we got to start getting more time. Second concern I have, three departments total $504,000 of over expenditures of, you know, deficits. Parks and Rec, $12,000, engineering, public works, $145,000, and those smaller concerns, we police, $247,000. I know that number gets netted down to about $371,000, but when I look at three of our top, for lack of a better word, violators, okay, of the budget, those three stand out, and I guess, is there something in place to get us back on track? It's not a question of that we're gonna close the year out with another, with, or with this deficit, and we'll just wash it against our reserve. We gotta keep, start being on track. When we say you've got $2 million, you know, unless, you know, something drastic happens, it's $2 million. Anyway, I'll let you talk.
Sure, fair enough, thank, through you, Mr. Mayor, the counselor. I'll address the first issue with regards to timing. Until May of basically the following year, the finance department is focused primarily on getting the audited financial statements ready to be audited. We always bring that in May. That's kind of why you see a little bit of delay with regards to the first quarter. The second quarter normally will come in August or early September, and then the third quarter is actually presented normally with the budget. With regards to this particular report, as we continue to evolve our trying to get council the best information, this is actually the first quarter report that has gone out back to all the departments and asked them to forecast forward. Historically, this council has seen first quarter reports, here's the budget, here's the actuals for the first quarter, with no forecast or real management tools. So we're actually trying to provide council with better information to make decisions, to mitigate those cost overruns as early as we can. Obviously, this isn't until March, and we've gone out to the managers and asked them to do their best in forecasting. I can tell you a lot of the estimates are sort of high on the cost end, and with regards to that, moving on to the second piece, the departments that have significant overages. One of the most significant overages exists right now in the police department, and we're forecasting the payment of the statutory holiday pay that would have to be settled with regards to the Annapurna Police should the OCPC approve the process to go forward. That item alone accounts for $250,000.
So that's booked into this number?
Yeah, that's built into this number.
And pre-booked it.
We're forecasting it.
You're forecasting.
And at this point, with regards to that, there is no, we haven't looked at any reserve transfers to mitigate those issues. So this is kind of a worst case scenario, especially with regards to that one large item with regards to police. The other area we are struggling with is with regards to the utility usage at the Libro Center. We left that budget very similar to the prior year, knowing that we were trending towards having some significant overages in that area. And the reason was because we were going through the process of resetting the system at the Libro Center. As you recall, we had the consultant come through and look at how the controls and all the systems work there. What we're finding post-2018 is that those systems, now that they're running at optimal performance, do have a wattage increase, and then we have the factor increase with regards to the cost. So that's another one of the significant variances in the early 2018 numbers that we'll have to deal with. And this gives us a tool and a place at this point in time, and it's up to the managers to get that mitigated down so that we don't have these unfavorable reports coming to council with regards to that. And I can tell you, we have been a little more strict with regards to monitoring of spending in the second quarter.
Okay, so if I extrapolate that number, I'm not going to see $2 million at the end of the year, what you're saying.
I would certainly hope not, Councilor.
Thank you.
Councilor Kucher?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to Justin. Justin, maybe I'm putting you on the spot here. In the past, whenever there were any overages, administration had to go back if there were any change work orders before they could approve anything. Would that help if council had put something in individual budgets to prevent overages?
Well, Counselor, the municipal budget is council's direction and authority to spend. Administration has to adhere to that as diligently as possible, and then at the end of the day, right now, this is an early forecast, and council and administration, all the budget manager centers have to come and work together to ensure that we meet council's target of with townwide spending of 20,743,000. So I don't know if any specific direction to any budget center manager would be helpful, but I'm sure the CAO, the Director of Corporate Services, that has all been very well communicated to those managers, and we are diligently working to ensure that is achieved.
Any other items for discussion? Okay, brings us to item 13, the consent correspondence. Councilor Malosh?
Motion recommendation 13-1 to 13-4.
Second, Councilor Fryer. Motion to receive, all those in favor? Carried. And is there any items anyone would like to address? Okay, that brings us to consent of the minutes, item 14, Councilor Levine.
Move receive.
Second, Councilor Fryer. Motion to receive, all those minutes? All in favor? Carried. Other minutes, the Drainage Board meeting minutes. Sorry, 15, Councilor Malosh.
Move the recommendation.
And second, Councilor Levine. Any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. Any unfinished business? Okay, new business? Councilor Pujic?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to make a motion to direct administration to provide council with a full report regarding a breakdown of all new positions hired by the town of Amherstburg within the past 4 years. This report is to be completed by the first meeting in September and include the total cost per year per employee, including benefits. And the reason for that is because we'll probably have a whole new council, and I think it's important that they have all that information when they, after they're sworn in.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Councilor Fryer? Is there any questions? Councilor Malosh?
I guess the question I have is if it's intended for the next council, why is the request made to have it ready by September?
Okay. Councilor Pujic?
So they can prepare in advance. They're going to be preparing to go into a budget session, so they're going to have to know all of this.
Councilor Levine?
I understand where I understand the concern. I mean, I'd hate to be remiss to say if you're going to be elected to council, you probably should be looking at the budgets that we've done for the past 4 years and the hirings, which are all included in each budget. And if you don't already know that information, you're going to have a difficult time sitting up here the first year, I'm pretty sure. But if you're more comfortable with it in a report style, I mean, how long would it take just to pull the information out of the budgets?
What was the time frame?
September.
I don't think that would be cumbersome. And, you know, was the first meeting in September? Is the 13th or? Clarification on what a full report means.
It's just a breakdown. Oh, sorry. It's just a breakdown of how many new employees and they could be numbered what that employee is full costing, including benefits. Because the reason I'm asking that is because I received documentation that the cost of the increase in wages alone for the past 3 years have reached, I believe it's 2.2 million. I received documentation for that. So that's why they're asking the new employees only.
I'm a little bit hesitant because that's not a clear picture though. Because if you want, you can say a cost of 2.2, but we're gonna throw in how much we've saved in legal from hiring a legal person, and we're gonna cost how much we've saved in engineering since we've hired a consultant. Like, we've already seen those reports in budget that have offset that have clearly told us that the people we've hired have more than paid for themselves, right? So if the report is just saying, this council hired this many people and it cost you this much money, I don't think that's factual if it comes out as a report that way. If it doesn't show why we did it and the true costs. Because if it's 2.2 for 10 people, but we saved $4 million in outlying costs from sourcing it out.
But the reason I was requesting it is because the costing, and this is the ministry's report, it shows an increase of 2.2 million in wages alone for the past 3 years.
No, and I understand that. But if the wages were wages we were hiring out, like just take our legal, we're spending $250,000 a year hiring legal opinions that we've offset by hiring, and that's now in the wages section. So that's not a true representation to say we spent an extra $2 million on employees when we didn't spend how much on legal, how much on engineering, how much on a road superintendent and what the work they do, and how much on all the other aspects of that. So that's why I'm a little concerned that is... It's easy for a pundit to say, oh yeah, you hired these people and this is how much more it's costing the town, when that's not a true representation of what happened when we hired those people.
Yeah.
We hired those people to save money, not to spend money. And sure, they have wages attached to them, but if people want to look at the reports and see how much the past council spent on legal alone, outside of an employee from the town, and then offset with the cost of our new legal representation, I'm pretty sure they'd see that we saved a heck of a lot of money by hiring that employee. So that's my concern, seeing that report in a way that says you hired this many people and this is costing you $2 million a year. I don't believe that's factual. So that being said, how much more work would it attach to do the real number?
Thank you, Tremere. I think it's difficult, and I'll say why. I think since I've been here, when there's been requests for staffing, it's been accompanied with a fulsome report of the reasons why and where there are offset costs. That is lost in the shuffle, and I would agree with that. In fact, even in the variance report, we talk of how one some of our staff is giving us revenue in terms of the Pelee Island issue, as well as a supervisor. So it's not fulsome. I would suggest you're correct. You know, I think it would be a snapshot of one part of a very big puzzle. And you know, we could dig out for 4 years all of the issue papers, of all of the requests made, and the ones turned down too. We can put it all up there. Your agenda package will be double the size of the thickness that it was tonight, I can guarantee you that. But I would agree that is a snapshot of one piece. The reasons that administration has requested positions were well documented to council, and council debated those with a lot of vigor. And many times council said no to positions. And then many times council agreed, and at certain times, council actually didn't understood the reason for the request, and it wasn't even debated. I can think of, and I'm looking back at Rebecca right now, nine of 16 reports made were planning, and she was doing it all on her own, and she still hits me once in a while. But having said that, that was one that wasn't debated at all. So is it a new position? Yes, it's a new position. But you also have to look at the larger piece of the puzzle, in my opinion. So I don't know how a report like that would look.
I think it's designed to make us look bad, personally, in my opinion, because it's easy at an election year and going into a new council to say, well, they hired all these people. We're going to wax them. That's how I'm going to run my platform. When I don't think that's legitimate. I mean, I understand the idea of keeping costs in line, but to offer a report that says this council hired 10 new people, it costs you guys an extra $2 million a year. I think we'll be remiss to throw that out to the public, because the average citizen will say, holy cow, you're inflating the size of town hall and it's costing us all this money, no wonder my taxes are so high, when that's not the true reality. The true reality is, you need to research the last 4 years of budgets and say, we hired someone in the legal department because we were spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on lawyers. We hired someone in the bylaw department because we weren't getting the bylaw issues dealt with. We hired someone in the arborist department or whatever because we were paying an arborist outside costs that weren't associated with that line. So I think that's, it would be remiss if we set that report out without all of the information. And I'm just concerned that that would, like you said, be this thick, right?
If I also may, through you, Mayor, let's not lose sight of the fact that all of that information is readily available to anyone. It's there. It can be sifted through and someone can make their own and actually see the context of those requests, which a 3 or 4 page report from administration wouldn't actually have that context, especially when you're talking about going back 4 years. Councillor Fryer?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In light of what Councillor Levine saying, and I wholeheartedly agree, unless that's part of it, you can't just show just what we've done and say, okay, so somebody can run on, wow, they hired all these people and how much money they spent, you have to have the full picture. So on that, just those comments alone, I'll withdraw my second on the motion.
Okay, I will go back to Councillor Puget, because if there's not a second, then there's really nothing else to discuss. Councillor Puget?
Well, I was just going to say, starting in January, we are going to be obligated to pay an additional, a large amount of money for wages. This would be a starting point for those people. They would understand this is what the wages are, this is the breakdown of it, and now we are going to have additional, a year from now, we're not going to be able to go back and say, okay, we hired this amount of people, this is what the cost is, or this is what the cost was. No, the excuse will be, oh no, we can't use that, because now the government came in and forced us to increase all our wages, so that's why we did it. If this is on the website, then it's not a big secret. I don't understand why this couldn't come before council.
Okay, without getting too much further into it, I guess I'll ask if there's a second. Okay, and there is no motion. Any other new business? Okay, bylaws. Councillor Fryer?
So before we do the confirmatory bylaw, can I just bring forward, if it's okay with the dinner, 3.4 tonight, the amendment for Texas Road. It was 3.2. The Texas Road, if it's okay, we can bring that bylaw forward this evening, because there was no concerns from the public.
3.2.
So if we can bring that forward, is there any concern from Rebecca?
No, through you, Mr. Mayor, for several reasons. The language and the recommendation that was available for the public, I think sufficiently identifies that any written or oral comments will be brought back at a future regular council meeting, which this is. Also, everyone was notified, no one attended, and also there is a draft bylaw that was included as part of the package, so everything is complete, and there is nothing to summarize and bring back for council's consideration at a later date.
So moved.
So if I can move 3.2 forward to this evening to be approved, the bylaw 2018-75 to amend bylaw, zoning bylaw 1999-52, having been read three times and fully passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign the same.
Thank you. Second, Councillor Melosh, any questions on that? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carry. Confirmatory bylaw, Counselor Milosh?
Move the recommendation.
Second, Counselor Fryer. All those in favor? Carry. Motion to adjourn, Counselor Levine, Counselor Fryer, all those in favor? Carry.